Ocean FM.
Donegal Plumbing and Heating, Old Lahy Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samson and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs. And sponsors of the Donegal GAA podcast.
It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Gemma's running that team. Gemma's running you.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray,
thank you.
Let me shake hands with you. You come in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man.
There is the full-time whistle. Donegal 20 points, Dublin 16 points. New rules, new season, same old Jim McGuinness winning matches with Donegal. 4-point victory for the green and gold in Donegal's maiden voyage in 2025. Martin McHugh, who's with me here on a commentary, how do you reflect on that?
Yeah, I think the big thing is the 2 points, Paddy. The new rules, you know, it definitely speeds up the game. They're going to, you know, and especially that middle eight is going to be important. The kickouts, a lot of them go long, which people like to see, and they're contested. And the breaking ball was what they're doing. The Hooters one, we get used to it, laugh. I seen Gallagher run out, and I thought he pulled his hand because he jumped up, and he actually was jumping up because the Hooter went in the final whistle. So I think that just the important thing is the 2 points. Because, you know, the people say, well, look at all the players, Dublin and Mason. We start naming them, you know, a lot of them, a million's going to be back. I don't know, but, you know, a lot of them are gone anyway. But I think the thing about it is important to win your home games. It's important 2 points because the players playing for Dublin, they were playing, you know, to get their places on the team and playing before their jersey. Somebody are better playing against the established players. So, you know, but it is massive. Like, if you look at the players that have gone, the Mannion, you know, Paul Mannion, the two smalls, some massive players that have, you know, younger lads that have gone out of the Dublin, that have gone out of the Dublin squad, and you have other players. And you talked about Brian Fenton early on, and we talked about Jack McCaffrey, and we talked about but Conor O'Callaghan's going to make a massive difference when he gets back in. There'll go three or four, you know, even the brother probably going there in that team. So Dublin had the 2 points in the bag. Donegal now get one. You know, we won the game, as I said. Advantage is Kerry tomorrow. You look at Derry and Kerry, but you go down to Kerry, no one. But Kerry's going to be difficult because I think, other than Cavan and Wisconsin, we expect to beat one at home, but every other team in the league is important. I think Jim McGuinness has never beaten a ball with him, right, in saying that now. And that's still, you know, and as you said, it's a long time since we beat Dublin. So it's good to get into a winning habit. And the important thing you said earlier on, we don't want to be relegated. Big first half by Darrow O'Beale. I thought Oisín Gallan had a great second half. I thought all round, you know, Kieran Thompson was steady all round, you know, important, one ball important. It went well. Now, the big difference is, you know, the post a couple of things, you know, they're going to need to work on is the kickouts, you know, because we have a very good goalkeeper kicking out, but it's important we try to win it. You know, Jason McGee probably a miss there in the middle of the field in that area, but we have big men and Michael Ling and Hugh McFadden. And then if Jason McGee, Michael, you know, goes in there along with Kieran Thompson, won a lot. So I just think there's a lot of work on, you know, lots to work on. And see, Darrow O'Beale is going to get man of the match, and right, so particularly for
you're agreeing with that.
Yes, for his first half performance. And, there's, you know, the way the older coach would say, there's still a lot more in Yedara. We need a good second half. You know, good being a one half team player, you know, you got to do it. But he had a brilliant game. And Michael Langan's over along with him, who was captain of Donegal today. So congratulations to Michael. And it's a one. And the important thing is, the bench made a difference today. I thought Paddy McBrady was very sharp when he came off the bench. I thought Oran Doherty won a couple of balls. My own nephew, Owen McHugh, got on balls. Jimmy Brennan, you know, got one of the kickers. And I just think that Mark Curran really steadied when he went in there. I thought he was very good when he went in there. Now, you might say a lot, but it was important. You know, but that period, the second half, Paddy, we've got to look at it at the start of the second half. You know, Dublin, lucky enough, if they'd Conor Callan, you would say, look at it, it's difficult enough. But a lot of our players are injured for a good question. We've got game time. You know, Brian McCall, Owen Van Galler, Keenan McGonigal. These players will improve. You know, they're only back from long injuries. And the man himself, Michael Murphy. Hopefully, will he, maybe not for the Kerry game, but hopefully after that he'll be available. And that'll be a bit of a fuss. You think of the left man coming off the bench. If he does or he starts playing, the crowd will give it. So, look, there's a lot of us, isn't it? The most important thing is the 2 points. What a massive crowd here. It's great. unbelievable, you know, the way it stood up for this time of year. And you'll thank, and always my own club man, Declan Galler in Kilcare, who's involved in the pitches in the county for the county board. And he's done a lot of work here. The machines and everything else get it done in association with the fast workers here and everything. So, you know, it was brilliant. Look, if you look out at it, you know, I remember times, you know, you see that pitch, be, you know, it wouldn't be the same way as it is after all the water came down. So fair play to everybody involved in that. And, of course, we look forward to going to Kerry next Saturday, Paddy.
Before you go back to Kilcare, I have two more things to ask you. Number one, I'll be getting a million messages with the Donegal GAA podcast from a lot of them, maybe casual fans that are abroad, and they don't get to watch the matches live, and some of them don't get to see on TV. They'll ask what's different about Donegal in 2025 so far. Now, we've only one game to go off. I suppose it's probably a stronger squad, Martin, so, and I hope I'm not leaving anyone out. You mentioned them. Michael Murphy is back, wasn't here tonight. Owen McFadden wasn't here tonight. Owen McGettigan back, wasn't here. The three of those, you know, carrying whatever niggles, injuries. Owen McHugh, your nephew, is back. I suppose I could nearly call Conor O'Donnell has been back because he was injured for a lot last year. Keelan McColgan was kind of stop-start last year because he was injured, of course, had to run all the way to the All-Ireland final. So probably a stronger squad, Martin, and expectations. People will be asking me that. Probably high. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, you see, we put that in the rebuild, definitely rebuild. And we look at Kerry. Kerry are still always Kerry. And they think themselves of a divine right to one another. They're still going to be hard enough to beat. You've always looked at the best squad on paper of the whole lot. See how they get on against Mayo tomorrow. Mayo seem to be struggling a wee bit. I thought Tyrone were going to impress them. They're short a lot of players. But tonight, like Armagh, end up hammering them. So you can't bring Armagh off. So we don't know. Every day, differently. Like Armagh were poor against Galway. But, you know, brilliant tonight, you know. And you know, Tyrone were very good against Derry. So every game is different. But it's home. One game's home. So from a Donegal point of view, yeah, you feel we're going to need a big squad. Probably didn't have enough something. You need players coming off the bench. It's going to make a difference. The fresh legs with this new game anyway, Paddy, fresh legs is very, very important. So we need players definitely coming off the bench. So I think, yeah, the squad with them players, you know, the players that are missing, that still, you know, that you mentioned there, you know, will make a difference when they come back. So that'll give you a stronger squad. And I think that's what we need. Maybe we lacked last year a wee bit, that you said that we didn't have enough quality coming off the bench to make the difference. And when the game, especially against Galway, because when you go to Croke Park, but your level of fitness is good. But I think it's becoming a 20-man game now, completely 20-man game, which is and that from the point of view of your bench, it's not just 50 players, it's 20 players. And them injuries cleared back and keeping it as many as possible injury free because of the games coming on top of each other now. Donegal are 5 weeks in a row now or whatever it is. So you just need that there. So I think the important thing is Donegal won't want to get to the league final. We won't want it because you're playing the following week against Derry here and the first round of the championship. You won't want, in my opinion, to be in the league final. So I think looking at it like that there, you need the 2 points here, you can get 2 points to Kerry. Then, you know, that's the start. You need an Armagh here then, which will be a big battle then against them here. But I think that the important thing is to stay in the division. You don't want to get to the league final and get as many game time and get a month's legs and be enough player and try to make sure we don't pick up injuries because, like, you know, if you think of the crowd this year tonight, if Michael Murphy was named in the team, we'd have put another 3,000 or 4,000 from all over coming to see again. But, you know, I have to give that man credit, Michael Murphy. No, I mean, you know, the amount of media work he's doing over us, and he give it all up for Donegal football. And I can tell you one thing, we have to give him a lot of credit. And hopefully, please God, he's come back and we can go on and do big things this year. You know, not putting any pressure on anything else, but it'd be great, Paddy, if we can. Because, you know, we know the amount of work they put in there after being in the training camp. And people say, you know, it was a holiday. It was no holiday, it was a training camp. And, you know, that's, you know, it's not easy. People always cost money and everything else. But, you know, we look at it from the point of view. A lot of teams are going away later on in training camp. They went before the leagues started from their own point of view, you see. And they went on that training camp and they put in work. But, you know, the business is giving people time off work and everything else to do that. These players are given some commitment. You know, and that commitment is what? That's why Ulster had such success last year. Because Ulster teams are the teams that will put in the commitment, give the effort, do the training, do the gym, do everything. And that's why they're probably better than anybody else at the minute. And that's what you need. And these boys are putting in a big effort. I know it from my own young fella. I know the amount of effort they're putting in. You know, their whole life is revolves around football, and they're doing it for the county and they're great credit. So hopefully we'll have a good year this year. And the big thing will be if we can stay injury-free as much as possible and have 20 very, very good players available to us, especially on the big days down the road.
Last one, promise. We're going to go back to Austin then. If we have time, the new rules, how do you think, we don't need to go through every single one of them, you know, I mean, there's seven rules and then there's about 5 million sub-rules. How do you reflect on what you've seen tonight with the new rules, I suppose? There's so much in the new rules, we actually could be here, Martin, to 1 o'clock in the morning. It's a 3 hour conversation.
Yeah, I think the new rules will suit the likes of Donegal, because we're a running team and we run the ball well. Maybe we didn't kick enough ball inside, maybe not enough showing inside. We need to work on that there, maybe. Because if you can get a ball quickly up and get it in quickly, we've men in there to win it, especially with the breeze of ourselves. But we didn't do that. The new rules, there was not much in it tonight. The kickers were definitely contested. There were no, the thing is, given the kickouts anymore. Every kickout was contested by both teams. A wee bit of discipline, both teams got caught with the ball being taken forward. I mean, and the two frees were missed for the two-pointers. So the two-pointers are massive. As you look at it, we won this game, tonight. Dara Wales, two-pointers the first half were massive. There was that wee bit of a cushion ahead. Only in tonight, no goals. No real goal chances. There were half goal chances. Each team had a half goal chance, but no real goals. So the new rules, yeah, it makes it a more exciting game, a more running end-to-end game and everything else. But I heard a very interesting one that Paddy Talley said to a friend of mine, and the Northie met him during the week, and Paddy knows kind of not happy. He's not happy with the goalkeeper out the field, but if you come up against Tyrone or Mon and them teams, you won't be happy with the goalie, because he'd play a massive part. So Paddy said, we're the only field game in the world that a player can't cross a line. So he was making the point, where the three players get the balls lying there. They can't come down and run the ball. They have to stay up the field. He said, it's the only field game on the road. Now, I thought the rules were okay tonight. I'd just be interested to see about, we definitely have taken, when we see an Ulster game, it'd be different. We were definitely taking a lot of the physical contact out of the game. You know, the crowd only got going once or twice in the game, really. So, in that sense, it's I don't know, it'll take a while to get used to it, because it's a different game, but a completely different game.
Okay, thanks to Martin McHugh there. Okay, up next, it's Donegal manager Jim McGuinness, who spoke with various reporters in the aftermath of his side's 4-point victory. Up first, it's Highland Radio's Oisín Kelly.
I suppose, what did you make of the first out? It wasn't obviously nice to get a victory, but lots was happening out there.
No, a lot going on, Oisín. I suppose in terms of the rules, we were happy enough. We got caught, I think, maybe just once with the three up. The game is very, very quick. That's the bottom line. I actually feel for Dublin. They've lost three men the night with hamstrings. Paddy Morgan will be one of our fittest players, and he was really, really struggling there. In the last 15 minutes as well. I think that aspect of it will definitely have to be taken into consideration whenever they go to review it. These boys are putting their life on hold. The sacrifices are huge. And if the demands are just too much, then you need to have a release valve. I picked up on the very first FRC document that came through that there was talk of 6 subs. And I seen that and I said, well, that makes perfect sense, because, it's going to be serious going. And we know from our own training, even the metrics that are going up, and they're the explosive ones. They're the ones that challenge you most. And so Dublin have lost them tonight. That could easily be us. And we know from our own experiences that when you get a hamstring now, when I was managing the last time, it was a week or 10 days. It's a completely different ballgame now. It's a month or 6 weeks, because they're doing so much work in the gym. They're so finely tuned and they're so strong that the tears are more aggressive and deeper and all that. So I do think, asking fellas to play at that sort of a pitch for this period of time, there definitely should be that flexibility maybe for another sub.
Sorry, did you mean the roll-on subs?
No, that there was talk in the very first document that I received anyway, that they were going to increase the subs to 6. And I thought that made perfect sense, because even the middle 8, do you know what I mean? You're probably going to be looking at 6 subs going in there at some stage or another, And so we've tried to manage the boys as best we could. Some of the lads that are maybe Nichols and Knox, Ryan and Unban, all that, through pre-season, you have to be in a situation where you're careful. Michael Murphy wasn't togged tonight for that very reason. We need to make sure that it's perfect for him, because the challenges are so high. So it's not just us, but I do feel that would be one thing that should be looked at, that extra sub, and it might help some man not picking up an injury. We had played Paddy Morgan for the last 10 minutes full forward. We're trying to get another man to go half back, I can't see a team in the country coming into the last 15 minutes and not having all their subs on either. you know, you can't just hold them and say, oh, I'm going to wait for a tactical sub. You're going to have to be flushing them out anyway. So I do think that extra body would make a big difference.
He's managed the situation, that situation tonight very, very well. He's outscored Dublin 5-1, wasn't it, in the last 13 minutes or something?
We did, but like, yeah, I agree with that. But like, we kicked a lot of stuff wide in the first half. Like, you know, it felt like we left it behind us at halftime. You know, they dug in really well in the second half and good composure and got back to basics in terms of some of the stuff we were working on last year. But in the first half, like, we needed to be far more clinical. Like, we should have had a lot more on the board than we did at half time. But, you know, Dublin is Dublin. You know, they're a big team. It's a big fixture. We didn't have the advantage of a game last week, probably. We were a bit rusty, and a lot of unforced errors, a lot of wides. We had 50% conversion rate in the first half. So we weren't anywhere near that number last year. So hopefully that's something we'll be looking at during the week.
Yeah, just finally for me, then, if you were to make one aspect, the pleasing aspect from tonight's game for you, because it was your first match, what was it?
Absolutely, the character that they showed, you know, because I think there was a point in it there maybe, and there wasn't even 7 or 8 minutes gone in the second half, and you're looking at the scoreboard, you're looking at the wind, confidence of the Dublin players, you're thinking this could be a long second half if they tag on another couple of scores. So from that point, they managed to get sort of vital turnovers, vital interceptions, and then showed very good composure at the other end. Oisin stepped up, kicked some big scores into the wind and stuff. So I think that part of it would definitely be the most pleasing part. And to be fair to the boys, that was a big part of it for us last year. You know, like, I remember that Armagh last year up there, and Armagh in the Ulster final, were 4 points down twice. They don't really, they normally, you know, the only game that didn't happen last year was the semi-final, you know. So whenever we do get into a jam, they normally try to hold the head and work their way through it, and they did that very well tonight.
Because of the reason you just outlined in terms of hamstrings and ears, 5 games back-to-back now is going to really stress test that there.
It definitely is, Frank. Yeah, it definitely is. And we're going to have to manage our squad. We're going to have to manage our players. We're going to have to manage training. We're going to have to manage load. We're going to play and recover, I would imagine. You know, that's going to be a big part of it for the next 5 weeks. But we're delighted that we have 2 points on the board now. You know, that's the reality. We've got 5 games now. Let's see what we can accumulate in these 5 games. And there's so many factors at play at the minute. You know, if we had lost the night, it wasn't the end of the world. We wanted to win, obviously, but there's so many factors in play. I think it's just, you know, trying to prepare as best we can for the championship and understand the rules, you know, to a higher level come the end of the league. That's the objective for the league. And so we got away with one the night in some respects because we left our shooting boots at home in the first half. We did show that character that I spoke about in the second half. But we got the points on the board. So that's a wee bit of solace and a wee bit of breathing space even, because it's the first day out. We've 6 more games now to try and get another 4 points or 6 points to leave ourselves in a safe position.
Just objectively speaking, not just from the goal in general, could sides look at this here and because of the game that you just mentioned, try and get to 6 points as quickly as possible and then start to taper off? And in general sense, because it is such a gauntlet, like, is it a matter of surviving the league and getting the heads down there?
I think everybody will have different intentions. You know, everybody, like, we were in a different place this year than we were last year. We had to try and win every game last year. That's not the case this year. You know, it's a different league. You're trying to climb the ladder last year and get up in every single result. The results were the most important thing. Whereas I think the results are going to be important this year, but the process of learning how we deal with these new rules is going to be very important tonight. Basically became a game of kickouts. Like, that was the reality of the situation, you know. We penned them in really well in the first half. They penned us in the second half. If it's a very windy day, then it's going to become a game of kickouts.
With the 40-metre arc, like, it's going to be a massive factor that year, like this year. Size, you're blessed with a lot of size, but is that going to be a big thing from the team selection?
I think so, but you can only select them if you have them, do you know? But I do think size will be important. I think you could see the return of the Big 10 or the Big 12 as well, like, you know, to go out over the top of it. Dublin did that well at the end of the first half, where they were pushing players further and further up the pitch, and it was leaving it dangerous for us, and they did actually pick up a couple of very dangerous breaks. Keelan touched one on the ground, and then they were away quick. So there's going to be a massive adjustment here in terms of what works and what doesn't work tactically. we got out the gate the night with the 2 points, and that's probably the most pleasing.
Jim, you mentioned the metrics are up in terms of the demand of players. You're obviously measuring that. Is it high speed running, and would you have a flavour for, like, is it 10%, 20% more we're being asked to do in a 70-minute game?
What you would call family business.
is it noticeably up? Like, it's obviously
there's certain metrics that are noticeably up. There are certain metrics that are noticeably up, and there's a lot that aren't. There's a lot that are the same. So it's trying to understand that and being clever about that. But there are more explosive ones, so the ones that ask the questions off the main major muscles. So that's why I say, you know, it's not idle chat and it's not trying to conjure anything. You know, these lads are going to be stress tested big time over the next 4 or 5 weeks from us. So we just would be very careful about that. And it's going to be training, it's going to be recovering, and try and put them in a good spot.
Ryan, you spent a decade in that middle third. What are you feeling in the early couple of weeks you can play?
Yeah, it is different. As Jim touched on, there's a lot more running. There is, you know, going to have to get the body a lot fitter. And we thought we were fit a couple of years ago, but going to have to get the body a lot fitter. But listen, it is enjoyable. You know, it does open it out a lot more. I suppose it challenges the management teams a lot more, how to come up with different ideas and stuff like that, you know. But you're going to have to get the body into a lot better shape. You are, you know, as Jim touched on, unfortunately, there was a couple of injuries out there tonight, and going forward, there probably is going to be. So squads are going to become massive coming down the road, you know. Mm-hmm.
Is there excitement in the group around it, or are you worried about things? Like, what is the general sense in the group?
I think in the whole GA, there's an excitement about it, to be fair. Listen, like everything, there's new enhancements, I think is the word, that we like, and or that I like, I should say, and I don't like. But I think in the whole GA in general, you know, again, when you're playing, it's hard to understand. You have to watch it back. But I thought, just on from thinking back, it was a good game tonight, a good open game, a lot of good scores, and a lot of good opportunities for scores, you know. So I think on the wider scheme, I think the whole GA will be happy with how it's going.
That's an amazing thing to watch. Can we get to the latter stages of the series and still not know where we're at as a product?
I don't think so, Frank.
No.
I don't think so. I think you'll see over the next couple of months teams getting good at you know, what's been asked of them, if that makes sense. You know, from our point of view, it's the first night out, you know, so the kicking wasn't good, the touch wasn't good and all. But I think all of them things are things that'll be there on the first night out anyway. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I think over the course of 7 games that the actual product will look a lot better, because what we do know tonight is it is more intensive, it is more transitional. You know, so when teams get better in transitions and better at finishing off things and all, I think you'll get closer to that model that probably... and that's always the case at this time of year anyway, you know. So I would say you're talking the last round or two of the league, the start of the championship, before you actually see, you know, the product that it's going to be, which is going to be very fast-paced, very dynamic, very transitional, and then hopefully the quality starts to come through then, you know.
Anybody else back for Kerry next week, Jim?
I can't honestly answer that, because there's a lot on training today, and we were doing our stuff when they were training. So we'll have to look at the metrics. we'll have to see whether that's true. It's driving a lot of things, because you have to be on the right side of it. So we'll have to wait and see where that falls. Now with these lads, get a conversation on the way out on the bus, and start recovering them for next weekend.
Last question.
What makes Michael?
Michael's great. Michael's in good shape, and he's enjoying it. You know, he's strong and he's fit. And we just want to be careful with him. You know, we want to be careful with Owen McGettigan as well. We want to be careful with Owen McFadden Ferry, Owen McHugh as well. Owen did come on with his cousin there the night for a wee period. So Owen is a bit further down the line, you know, because he played a lot of football last year with his club, and he played midfield for his club. I think that benefited him, you know, coming into the group. So he's the only one of them five that sort of come back that actually got a bit of game time tonight, which might have been 10 minutes, maybe, or 15 minutes.
Ben Barrowe, he didn't have a place in his debut.
No, he was good. He was good, and he's, as he said, it's been a long road and a lot of adversity there to overcome. But no, it's great for him to be up and running, and well done to him. It's always a big moment for any young fellow when you're making your debut.
Okay, delighted to be joined here on the Donegal GAA podcast with the Donegal Democrats. Frank Craig had finished Donegal 20 points, Dublin 16. We've just left the press conferences with Jim and Desi. Your thoughts?
Good to get up and running, Paddy. Good to get up and running with a victory after the false start last week in Kerry. In terms of what we kind of watched out there, it's hard to sort of, you know, old habits die hard. It's kind of your process as you're watching games, it's just, it's different. And it's still very much in a state of flux. It's only two rounds in Donegal. Of course, they're only out for the first time tonight. Interesting that both managers were sort of singing off the same hymn sheet in terms of the rigours that it's placing on players, particularly in that there middle third. It's really squeezing them. Jim says the metrics and I suppose their GPS readings on those players in that sort of middle third have really, really spiked in terms of in-house games, training games, and probably there today when they look back on it. And Desi Farrell and Jim probably, well, they both definitely expressed a real concern on the number of substitutes, and they're hoping that maybe the FRC will review that there at the end of the league, that they can at least maybe introduce a sixth one, because Dublin had three hamstring injuries there the night. Donegal, you could see there later on, Pattern Morgan pulled up, and they end up winning around the full forward line just to survive, you know, the closing 10 minutes. So that's going to be really, really interesting going forward, because I guess Donegal not going to Killarney last week, not fulfilling that fixture because of weather, not travelling. They now have a gauntlet of five games, Paddy. So that's really going to stress test the squad. And you're probably looking at two managers that are looking at two very different things. Donegal, as an Ulster side, probably want to get to that 6 or 7 point target right away. The league, I think, for all the Ulster sides, because of the reasons or the concerns they expressed there tonight, is probably to be tolerated rather than embraced. Like, I don't think anybody's going to be, you know, aiming for league finals. I think you're going to try and maybe just survive it and get out of it, because grave concerns expressed in there the night, Paddy. You'll probably see it in audio through Jim. You'll probably see it in print. Desi Farrell had a real snipe as well. I mean, college players, the college competition's going in the middle of this too, is adding extra layers of headaches. So a lot to sort of unpack from there the night, and kind of looking down the line. I mean, Donegal are out in Ulster Championship in April. I mean, it's going to fly in, and surveying the landscape at the end of a National League campaign, like, what do you want? It depends on who you are and what cloth you're cutting to suit.
These are genuine concerns. These are basically health and safety issues when you actually look at it, because Jim is completely behind the rules, the enhancements, we call them. And I think some people like to, you know, snigger and that and say all the Ulster coaches are not. Jim is fully endorsing the rules. This is just a symptom of the rules itself that he has a concern over, because he's all for the chaos, isn't he? He's all for that medley. He's just asking, from a health and safety point of view, we need more subs.
Yeah, more subs. It's just sort of ambiguity kind of surrounded as well. Again, both managers talked about the original document, maybe, you know, furnished with the FRC, and in that there, it sort of kind of hinted at provisions for a sixth substitute. Desi Farrell actually said he sought clarification before the Mayo game last week, because right up until then, he wasn't actually aware that it was only capped at five. And you just, you know, you hear David Goff yesterday talking about not having a rule book as we head into round two. You know, you see Joanne Cantwell pushing the name of Fitzmaurice on the Sunday game. Do you know, it is an amateur game, but at the same time, I think some of the housekeeping maybe in the lead up to this has kind of been amateurish in a negative sort of way. They haven't covered themselves in glory, I don't think, in terms of making this as clear and, again, unambiguous as possible for players, management, and even the general public. It's just a bit of a blot maybe on the rollout of all this, because, listen, it's in a state of flux. It's going to take, I think, a while. It could
be. Again, he says we need to give everybody leeway. He was kind of he had more empathy for that kind of golf interview about, and Jim Gavin did actually distance himself from that actually during the week. I thought he was like, well, that's up to the GA. It was the GA thing. Do we just all need to chill out and relax a little, or are we too harsh game by game? Because 2025 is actually one big trial year.
We do need to chill, relax, and cool the jets a bit. But I think that's in terms of players management and referees in terms of admin and the people behind trying to roll this out. No, I don't think there is any leeway at all. I think it should be black and white and very clear the perimeters we're trying to operate on, because if they can't get that there right, how do you expect referees, teams and management to fall into line?
Right, next one. Two more questions. I know you're under pressure here. It's a bit of a triangle, isn't it? The FRC's over here. You have the players, coaches, managers over here. Then you have the general public / casual fans. Casual fans want chaos. Managers, coaches want their sports science. You see it in tennis, golf, everything now is sports science. So when it comes to McEntee last week talk, and then you have the FRC, and the FRC are told, you know, they don't want to completely change the game, broadly speaking, to what it looked like 10, 15, 20 years ago, whatever. These people over here, though, want chaos. But McEntee, Troy McEntee's talking last week, and he's talking about the kickouts, and he's saying, well, we had 75% retention rate last year. Now we're down to 50. It's a tough balancing act that the FRC have, isn't it? Because the people that want chaos are not training 52 weeks of the year. Does that make sense?
I love the word chaos. Like, we're all stakeholders, but some
science
of us
versus chaos.
Some of us have more. I mean, for supporters and general public, you want to be entertained. If your team wins or lose, you might go home happy or sad. But for management and players, and even the FRC, they're under huge duress to try and get this here right. I mean, like, you're talking about, you know, McEntee and people like Jim McGuinness talking about controlling games and kickouts going from 70% down to 50%. Well, I think that's good. I mean, I think the less control maybe teams and managers maybe have on the game, the more maybe unhinged and loose it's going to be. And I think then as a spectacle, it'll look easier on the eye. And I think that's what we're all kind of aiming for. Again, it's going to take a while for this to maybe simmer and reduce down to a rhythm that looks familiar every week we go out. Because, as I says, like, in terms of stakeholders, players, I think, management and officials, the quicker they all get on the same page, the better. Because we don't want to watch a game next week that's maybe ref or interpreted differently than what it was applied this week. It's still a feeling out process. And again, like, we could get to the end of a manic year and crown All-Ireland champions where maybe you're having questionable decisions still up in it all there in a semi-final, final, where people are still not completely clear. Because, as I said at the start, old habits die hard. It's very hard to deprogram yourself from what we've been used to for the last 15 or 20 years. So, like, so much has to fall in line. And, like, Donegal out 5 weeks in a row, like. So you're asking a side to really get on top of this. You're asking officials to get on top of it. Again, like, sitting there watching tonight, at times you're kind of, you know, you're asking the person beside you, why did that happen? Why did this happen? And again, even something that you know about, like the quick solo you see Kieran Thompson taking, you wonder what, and you're, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's obviously a new rule coming into play. It's going to take a long time, I think, for it to streamline and everybody be on the same wheel. And that's why I think we could have a bonkers year, you know. It's
are you pro or anti rules overall?
I like them. I think what we were watching was absolutely.
Yeah, there is a difference between you bringing up these subtle nuances, and people might say, like, it's David Goff actually is very pro rules. He's just it's around the perimeters that he is. So you're actually pro rules in general.
I think as a spectacle needs to change, because Peter or Paddy, it's been terrible for too long, and I think it's become a win at all costs sort of product. And I mean, nobody's at liberty to entertain us, but I think if the rules are at a stage where it becomes less about control for managers and players, and there's just that wee bit of off the cuffness, or as you like to say, chaos, then we're going to get a better spectacle. And I think people are going to be more interested in the game. And if it bums in seats, TV figures will be good. It's something that's needed for a while there. Like I said, patience is going to have to be a virtue for weeks, maybe months, and possibly even the season alone.
You've no patience in general, like, to be fair to you. Like, you just don't. I'm only joking. You're so good. Last one. We've 60 seconds with this one, Frank. And because the rules are just overriding everything at the moment, and I think there's going to be rule burnout. Donegal 2025. Load of new additions to the squad. I said to Martin McHugh already, people already texting, what's going to be different about Donegal this year than last year? On the face of it, we're having a huge sample size. There's more faces, but we haven't seen them. Oran McFadden, Ferry, Michael Murphy, Owen McGettigan tonight. Owen McHugh came back. He played a bit tonight. We've a couple of more, I suppose you could nearly call it Conor O'Donnell in addition, because he was injured for last year. So Murphy's obviously the big talking point. I'm probably leaving out one or two. Loads missing tonight as well. Donegal 2025. Are you positive? Are you kind of maybe similar year to last year? Could we go the whole way? Where are you with Donegal?
I'd be quite positive. Like, they're one of the contenders, without a doubt. Contenders in the province, contenders, you know, within all Ireland. But that doesn't mean that they couldn't trip up and fall at the first hurdle, to Derry. I mean, it blows the hinges off, you know, the possibilities for everybody. Like, you know, I think these new rules, it'll play into side strengths. I mean, like, what we're seeing with Mass Defence is, you look at some of the, you know, the players that Derry have, like, up top as well, like Lynch and these lads, like, all of a sudden, like, you know, new management in there, Paddy Talley. I would be very apprehensive, look too far down the line. You know, get two or three wins under your belt, survive this league. You know, the sooner you get to a point that you feel might keep you safe, you know, I would say Donegal will go to ground. Then April's only around the corner, first round of the Ulster Championship, which is something that's very hard to get used to as well. You know, we chat about getting used to rules earlier on. Trying to get your head wrapped around the first round of the Ulster Championships in April, when it still could be sleet on the ground. Like, all these things are variables that... that play into it. Like, you're, you know, I'm sure Desi Farrell in Dublin there is looking at it very differently than Jim McGuinness and Donegal are looking at it, simply because, you know, the provincial landscape up here is so hectic that you really have to cut your cloth to suit. And for all those reasons we talked about, you know, 5 weeks in a row, injuries, like, you know, anything could rule you out of an Ulster Championship first round, and that would have the possibility, you know, a loss there to tailspin your season.
Frank Craig, never thought I'd say this. You're a sound man. Thanks for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast.
Chat soon.
Okay, the final section here on the opening edition of the 2025 Donegal GAA podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by the Irish Independence, Donegha Boyle. We're standing here in the freezing cold in Balbuffet. The lights have gone off, Donegha.
The RTE lorry's pulling out, or the TG car lorry is pulling out.
That's when it's time to get away from me. It's very, very late. There's going to be rule burnout, isn't there? We're heard it from... probably for about the next 3 to 4 months. We just heard from Frank Craig there, but as the RTE lorry pulls out, I don't know whether to talk to you about the game or the rules. Let's start with the rules. I was listening to you last week. You were brilliant on with Joe Malloy, as you always are, and you said, to paraphrase you said, the more you watch it, and you've seen more games than me live, the more you kind of become familiar with this whole shift, this cultural revolution that we're seeing. What did you feel of it tonight, rules-wise?
Yeah, it was more the same. I think I covered the Kildare-Galway game, which I think was the challenge game back at the start of January, which was one of the first sort of public airings of the new rules outside of the sandbox games that the FRC had done. And I went to that game and I was a little bit apprehensive, not going to lie, because there's a lot of stuff about the new game, certainly in your early exposures to it, that are counterintuitive. Like, it is... You know, for the first time, the rules of the game don't come to you naturally. You have second guessing yourself. And there was a small bit of confusion, and that confusion can lead to frustration. And I think there will be an element of that right through the league. I think there's scenarios that are going to pop up and emerge that we haven't thought of yet, that will that we weren't even sure of. I had a conversation with somebody there in the press box, and they were asking about the technicalities of one of the rules. So that sort of stuff is going to go right the way through to round seven on this. But in a general sense, I think the game is... more open. I think it is more attacking, and the long periods of play where we saw teams hold the ball for 2 and 3 minutes, you know, going over and back, that is gone. So I think that is to be welcomed. So far I like the idea of what they're trying to do. Not perfect by any means, but I think we have to remember what the game was capable of being over the last couple of years, in terms of those over and back and keep balls and playing donkey with the, you know, the one man up or no man up. So I have to say I like them so far.
I just said to Frank Craig, and very quickly on this, the FRC do have a difficult job, don't they? Because I put them in a triangle earlier. They're here. You've players, coaches over here that rely on science because they work very hard. They rubber stamp what they do in training week on week throughout the whole year. And then you have the people like me or you that want a little bit of chaos, but we're not putting in the work of those lads. Can you see the frustration from a lot of managers? But not all. I'm in the Midlands. Some of them are absolutely really endorsing the new rules. But you can get the frustration because Jim Gavin is up here. He's trying to, I won't say trying to please both, but he's trying to not make the game look that different from 25 years ago, too different. But at the same time, he has a tough job.
I think that the game, that's an important point to make. I do think the game looks largely similar. Teams still attack and defend in the same sort of shape that they did last year. The only difference being there's less bodies in the same area, so it's possible to do things now. In terms of like the FRC are far from infallible, but the quality of people who are on it are people like Jim Gavin, Emil Fitzmaurice, Peter Canavan's added, Maurice Deegan's been added, people with real world experience of the modern game and what it is. So they have, you know, gone to the best people they can get their hands on. And I know a lot of people aren't delighted with what we've seen so far, but I do think the overarching feeling is one of positive. I just had a quick look at all the headlines in the Irish Independent last Monday, and it was from various columnists, comments from various managers, and I think maybe off the top of my head, Paddy Talley probably was the outlier, and Paddy had a line about that one of the rules was killing the game or something. But other than that, it was roundly positive. So, you know, I think you're never going to have complete 100% agreement on anything in life. But now I think they've done well to get to this stage and not have any major rows. We had one there this evening, both Jim Gavin and, Desi Farrell, excuse me, and Jim McGuinness were talking about how you need an extra sub. Desi lost three fellas to hamstring injuries tonight, pointed towards the load. Jim McGuinness made the same point. So there is that. That's significant. Maybe the load on players now and the injuries are all gone. Particularly now, I think Donegal are going into five games or five weekends. They're in that run now because they missed the break weekend because the Kerry game was cancelled. So I think they're looking at five games in the spin. So that's a huge ask.
Finally, just, I know you want to go home. We all do. Away from the rules, as I said, there's going to be real burnout. Last year we saw, ostensibly speaking, one of the closest All-Ireland races ever, realistically 6-7, whatever teams it is now, could have won the All-Ireland. A lot of people will feel aggrieved, not just Galway, I think Donegal, Kerry and so on and so on. It's looking like, in its early days, look, we love when the league's back, but about three rounds in, then we're looking forward to championship, given the nature of the season. We're looking at something similar this year again, aren't we? Realistically, if you were told maybe one of 4 to 6 teams won the All-Ireland, would you be that surprised?
Yeah,
where's Donegal at in that?
I'd go as far as 6 quite easily, you know. I think what Armagh's win last year will have done, I think it will have emboldened teams. They will, I think there will be an attitude, if they can do it, why can't we?
Yeah.
If, you know, I think that will open it up. And as you say, everyone can have, you know, sort of regretful feelings about 2024. Dublin will look at how they let Galway get on top of them in that,
yeah,
in that quarterfinal. What, they outscored them. I can't remember the stat off the top of my head, but they really blew them away in a way that Dublin never are down the home stretch. Dublin will be thinking, geez, we could have won that game. Galway will have huge regrets about the final, obviously. Donegal will have huge regrets about themselves.
Kerry,
you know, and so there is 5 or 6 teams there easily without trying who will be looking over that. And of course, one of the great things about the pre-season so far, I'm not sure there has been an All-Ireland race, and it's very early in the year, admittedly, but I'm not sure the reigning All-Ireland champions have ever been, I won't say dismissed, but they're well down in everyone's conversation when it comes to this. But they're right in the mix of day too. I didn't think they'd go particularly well tonight, but by all accounts, they blew Tyrone away early on. So, like, all those teams are in the mix. Donegal look very good tonight. Look, what is this game about? Loads of hard running, as both managers got it. So you need athletes, you need ball carriers. Have Donegal got that? Absolutely. Good inside forwards, yes, and long-range point kickers. Now, I think you could make an argument that maybe in that regard in particular, that Donegal are better stacked than anyone. Thompson, Langan, Michael Murphy when he's back, Gallen, Paddy McBrearty can do it. I'm probably missing somebody. So that's a hell of a weapon to have. And you know, you spend more time around Jim than I would, but he seemed a man very happy with his lot there this evening. Maybe 10 minutes with him. But sometimes you can sense with managers when they're frustrated or annoyed. He seemed quite satisfied with his evening's work. And why wouldn't he be? Like, you know, Dublin came back at them. You know, that's a chance to, you see a bit about your team there when you lose a lead. And twice Dublin got back within a point, and twice Donegal found the answer. And I think they outscored them something like 5-1 down the home stretch. So that takes a little bit of doing, even though Donegal's record here in Ballybuffet is absolutely remarkable. Like, I was looking at it, I think it's 84 since Dublin won here, and maybe 2008 since the one in Ballyshannon, since a league game now I'm talking about.
I don't think, finally, one of our listeners is going to correct me. I don't think Jim McGuinness has ever lost a game in Ballybuffet.
No, I read that during the week too.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I'm safe
yeah,
enough then.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. Yeah, I read that too. So he's never. So, yeah. So there you go. But if you like, it's a hell of a starting point, and particularly now, like with the way championship is, you know, you're going to good chance you'll have a couple of big days here this year. So yeah, it's well, like, look, we're one game in for Donegal point of view. but they couldn't have done much more than beat Dublin, still have Michael Murphy to come back, still have a few Kingstown out. I think did 9 first half wides. You know, you,
9, yeah.
So
I'm playing it down now. I know you're on a Donegal podcast and you're trying to be really nice to our Donegal listeners. I am absolutely playing this down. Donegal's not even going to make a quarters this year. I am hopeful, but I think it's going to come down to two things, finally. There's nothing between the top 4 or 6 teams, whatever it is, and then you have the rule changes fired in for good measure, and it might come down to who adapts to them slightly better than one of the others.
In fairness, I think by the time the business ends, the championship rolls around, I think everyone will, you know, everyone will be up to speed. I don't think there'll be any. I think all the little the best possible way to play the rules to suit your particular group of players, I think they'll all have settled on that. Like, for example, by round 7, Donegal will be a lot better at doing the things they're trying to do tonight than they were this evening, and so will everyone else. So I think there'll be a natural improvement across the board the more you're exposed to it. I need to improve.
That was my first commentary with the new rules. I know this is not your maiden voyage, but I thought the first half went well. Martin McHugh, myself, were in commentary. The second half, then it's when the ref stops the game.
But that's,
and they stop. I'm like, me, but you just tell your listener and you're like, okay, I actually don't know what, because we actually, it's not that we don't know the rule, we don't actually know what he stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fine. It's just
that goes back to what I was saying at the beginning. For like the first time in your life, you're not sure precisely what's happening in a game of Gaelic football, because we know, like, it's intrinsic in us, in all of us at this stage. We're growing up with this game since we're kids. We know absolutely, before the referee blows the whistle, we know what he's giving it for,
yeah,
or what he thinks he's giving it for. But now we're there like, did anyone check the tree up? Who is the tree up? And did he breach it? What's he talking about? Was the descent there? He brought it back out behind the arc, and you know, he's going for 2 point. You know, all that stuff is, you have to run that through your head now. Previously, we didn't. We knew precisely what it was off the top of head. And in fairness, that's only reps. I think that only comes back to reps. I think the more you see it, the more you report it, the more people watch it, pay in the matches, I think it will become second nature.
100%. Donegal Boyle, you're an absolute gentleman as always. Thanks for joining me on the Donegal GAA podcast, and safe journey back to County. I was about to say Monaghan, County Meath.
Absolutely through Monaghan, yeah.
They let you through. Okay, that's it for the weekend's edition of the Donegal GAA podcast. A big shout out to you, our loyal listeners, and of course to all our guests tonight, and the main man back at base, Austin O'Callaghan. Donegal defeat Dublin by 20 points to 16. Jim McGuinness's side will take on Kerry in that rescheduled match next Saturday at 2:30 in Killarney. So bye for now, stay safe, and we will talk to you next Saturday.